Curious. You would make an excellent cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Join the community at Cephalon Squared on Twitter and Facebook, or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. Now, sit back and enjoy the show. Here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day Cephalon Collective and welcome to episode 32 of Cephalon Squared. My name is Cephalon Greg and I'm joined on this fine evening, at least it is in Australia. I don't know what time it is wherever you're listening to this episode. Lucas, Cephalon Lucas, how are you doing?
I'm good. You're on a bit of a rant there. Want to take some breath in between?
I've breathed
or
since.
You're good?
Yeah. I have breathed since. I'm all right now.
That's good.
I was a bit dizzy and I was seeing stars for a little while, but it's all good now.
Yes. Doing good.
That's good.
Everything's good.
I thought this was going to be episode 32, but I thought this was going to be our 50th total episode. But that was actually the mini that we recorded the other day. That was the 50th.
Oh, wow.
Dickhead.
Already did 50. So this is 51.
Yes.
Wow.
So here we are.
It's doing good. Doing good. Doing strong. Feeling
Indeed.
Good.
If you like. So, weathercast. How goes it?
Weathercast. Well, currently at 7 p.m. In the city of Ipswich, it is 26 degrees Celsius with a 49% humidity. Probably the best weather we've had in a very long time.
Nice. So, for all you American folk out there, 26 degrees Celsius is about 79 degrees Fahrenheit. So there you go. And down here in Melbourne town, it's almost the same. So it's 27 degrees or 81 degrees Fahrenheit with a 35% humidity. So it's actually quite comfortable, even though it's still 27 odd degrees at 8 o'clock at night. It's not too bad.
We're alive. Too bad indeed.
We're alive and that's what matters.
And not melting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's almost freaking spring. It's only a week off.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
Summer's supposed to be over. Summer's almost gone. Let me know if you know that song. You should. If you know your music. Not you, Lucas. Talking to the listeners.
Oh, thank you.
That was my Nightwave.
Don't want to be part of it anyway.
All right, so Cephalon Warframe time. Let's talk about what we did in Warframe this week, or gaming in general.
Yeah. Okay. So this week, well, for myself, I decided to start making my Tombfinger kit gun a lot more stronger, and I've actually started looking at the the arcanes that are available in Fortuna for the kit guns.
Because you finally hit the freaking top max level with Fortuna Cetus dudes. Grindy.
I did the grinding. It's all done. Done grinding now. Done. Well, for that anyways, but now I've got to do more grinding.
Yes, and a lot and more.
Fantastic.
Because it never ends. Anyway, tell us about your Tombfinger and your Headseeker.
Well, I'm loving it so far. It's I've only got the arcane up to level 1 so far, so there's still a lot more work to go. I think there's another 7 arcanes I got to put into it. But at the moment, it's sitting at about a 50% chance to, on headshot, send out 2 projectiles to seek out nearby enemies and blow up their heads also. So I took it into the Simulacrum just to give it a bit of a test run, just to see, you know, how damaging this is. I didn't go too crazy with my spawned in enemies, just a couple of level 50 lances. Just wanted something nice, quick and easy. And even with level 50 lances, I'm killing 3 in one shot. You know, the first guy takes a bullet to the face and melts, and then the 2 projectiles that stream off that go and melt the heads of 2 more lances. So that's amazing.
It is. That's exactly the reason why I also chose the Headseeker, because it's it just makes sense.
Face melting, face meltingly good. Yeah.
Face meltingly good indeed. No, plus you went and got yourself got your hands on a Tombfinger Riven, which is pretty damn good as well. So
I did, and, oh, beastly, absolutely fantastic. So that, yeah, my Tombfinger is currently my favorite secondary weapon, and I think it will be for a very long time to come.
Yeah, nice. I've still got to make that Catchmoon one that I was talking about and make myself a mini Plasmor, which is funny because so we're going to talk about the impromptu stream that DE did over the weekend, and during that stream they brought up someone's account and someone had a little Catchmoon kick gun on there, and they did call it mini Plasmor, and it made me laugh anyway. Kudos to that person. Yes, I didn't do a great deal in Warframe this week. I suppose the main thing that I really did, I played a little bit on Switch here and there. I played a little bit on PC here and there, just doing little bits that I have to do because I'm so far behind on both of those platforms. But the main thing I did was the Corpus event today with your good self, Lucas, because we still hadn't done it. And we thought, shit, we better do it. What did you think of the Corpus event versus the Grineer event last week? It was the same thing, essentially.
Well, okay. I always prefer fighting the Grineer over the Corpus simply because the Grineer don't have nullifiers.
Mm-hmm.
During this event, there wasn't enough nullifiers to really make me worried about fighting the Corpus whatsoever.
Yeah, and they just still weren't high enough level. Even when there were nullifiers, they were very quickly themselves nullified. Yeah. So,
yeah.
It just didn't matter. It was just easy. So, I did go down though, because I'm a useless piece of poo. You did go down. Poo.
That was a lack of concentration at the
within
start.
Within the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think honestly, the Warren Grineer was actually more difficult.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think
it definitely. It felt difficult. More difficult to me.
Yeah. I was on my game a little bit more with the War on Grineer last week, so I felt tonight's one was slightly more difficult. It wasn't difficult at all because you were doing all the damage dealing. So,
Mesa Prime.
Both of them were easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, yep. That's mostly what we've been doing. But of course, Anthem came out this week as well, this weekend, and we have spent a bit of time there.
Yep.
And that's been quite enjoyable.
A lot of Anthem playing.
Yeah, so we have been enjoying that.
Very much enjoying it.
Yeah. Get on it if you want, or don't. It's up to you. Anyway, over to the news for this week. So, there was a little bit of news, and most of it ended up being what we're going to talk about in our discussion topic. So, I'll just smash through the news, and then we will get right on into the juicy stuff. So, it was at the start of the week that DE just came right out and said the dev stream's not going to be on until March 1st. And we know now that the reason for that is because they're just plowing through a lot of the first phase of the melee stuff, and they just want to sort of sort that out. So hopefully that'll come soon. We'll talk about that a little bit later. After that, Steve, well, he showed off a few things during the week in regards to the new Sun Shadows that they've been working on. So basically, particularly on, or really only on the Plains of Eidolon, the shadows from the sun are now getting actual real-time effects. And it's something that I never really looked at before, never paid any attention to. But when you see it in action, it makes a massive difference. What do you think, Lucas?
This looks amazing. Ship it.
That's about all you can say. Ship it, indeed. We will talk about that a little bit later as well, because it was on the what was it called? The little dev stream. It wasn't really a dev stream. I'm trying to keep away from calling it a dev stream, but it just did. So there you go. Impromptu dev stream. So we'll talk about that in a sec. And of course, the melee notes or the updates for melee phase one and the notes for the changes to the alert system were both released. I think they were released on Friday. And then after both of those were released, they did the little impromptu dev stream, which we're going to talk about. Of course, the War on Corpus weekend is live. We just talked about that. It's essentially exactly the same as it was last week for War on Grineer. Do a half an hour long survival, get rewards.
Yep.
And lastly, completely out of the blue, completely unexpected, Fortuna Part 2 is suddenly insert for Switch, which means it should be coming out this week, all going well, and will basically put the Switch within the same update cadence as the other consoles. So that will be very interesting. Indeed. So, I did put a little post on the cephalonsquare.com website if you do want to see what's coming with that Fortuna Part 2 update. If you're a Switch player, otherwise you probably know what's coming because it's already on your platform. All right, anything else that happened during the week that you want to talk about, Lucas?
One more thing I want to throw in, and it's just a quick announcement for everyone to listen until the community call-out, where I will be announcing our Harrow 101 cover art competition winner.
Indeed you will. Hell yeah.
So voting has ended, and we have a winner, and their art is glorious.
Yes, yeah. I mean, all three were glorious, but yeah, extra glorious. The one that came out on top. All right, so discussion topic. Now, the impromptu session that happened this morning was an hour and a half. There was a lot of just talking about random things. So even though it was an hour and a half, there wasn't a lot of information. There was, but there wasn't. It's hard to say. They did go over both the melee notes and the alert notes, so we're going to talk about both of those topics, which is exciting. And they gave away a couple of little other tidbits of information. If you picked up on anything else, Lucas, that's not in my notes here, feel free to speak up.
Will ready to go? Do.
Okay. So, the melee changes. Now, these are coming in phases, and the first phase is coming soon. This first phase is planning to focus on uninterrupted combat, so basically the whole instant switching between melee and guns, basically, which is super cool. We've seen it in action a million times, but it still keeps looking like it's getting better. And the thing I liked was that they mentioned Devil May Cry and Bayonetta several times, which are two of my favorite action games. So I'm very excited about that. What do you think, Lucas?
It's looking very smooth. It's looking very refined. I need this in my life now. I want to play it. Come on, hurry up. Chop, chop. Come on, let's do it.
Do you want to do the next one?
Where am I? I'm at
the next line, combo interrupts.
Combo interrupts. Resume with a time-limited window. Okay, so they showed off the the rough time of swapping from your melee straight away back into your firing, and it's very smooth, very quick, very, very little interruption. You can't, they have stated you can't really jank the animation, so you can't start your melee and then quickly swap to your guns. You have to wait until there's a certain, you know, a certain level of the swing has gone through.
Which makes sense.
It looks, yeah, it makes sense. It's realistic and to a degree.
Yeah, but what they were referring to with the combo interruptions and combo resumes is that you can start a combo, throw in a couple of gunshots, and then continue your combo. Provided you're doing it all within a time limited window. So Reb was showing off Spin to Win. I forgot what it's called. Cleaving Whirlwind?
Yes, Cleaving Whirlwind with a Heavy Blade.
Yeah, she was showing off Cleaving Whirlwind with a Heavy Blade, and she got to the spinny part and then fired off a weapon and then continued spinnying with a bit more Spin to Win. So people were thinking that the changes that they were making and making creating this uninterrupted combat would mean that you would lose your combo for your melee combos. I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, you would lose your place, I guess, in the combos. But you won't, provided you are pretty quick smart about the use of your fingers. So that's pretty cool. Ground slams will now be controllable. So at the moment, all you do is you point at the ground and you go straight down and you slam. But as of melee phase one, you will go in the direction that your eyes are looking when you press the slam. So that's pretty damn cool.
Yep, it is. And means you can even do a slam over over distance.
Yes, exactly.
So basically a forwards leap towards your enemy.
Yeah, it'll help covering some ground as well. Good point, sir.
Yes. The new elemental trails and effects are looking fantastic. Showed off a few, the fire, the electric. Do you remember which other ones they did? I think it was toxin.
They also showed off viral.
Viral, yeah. They showed off viral.
Interesting. Different.
I'm curious as to how the ice... cold damage trail looks, and also magnetism are two that they didn't show off. Fire looks amazing. I will definitely be coloring my fire black.
Fire does look amazing. They did a great job. Good. It's not overbearing. There's not too much fire. It's just spot on. They did really well.
Yeah, and that's another thing I should mention. The elemental trails and effects actually take on your energy color for your weapon now. Mm. So, yeah, as before, it was you would see if your weapon had a fire effect, it would have the fire effect. It'd be orange, like fire. But now that effect will actually inherit the energy color.
And it's really vibrant. It just looks amazing. There's not much you can say about it apart from that. It used to just be that it was all sparks and weirdness, but now it's you know, if you're using electricity, you'll see little bolts of electricity.
Little arcs of electricity. It was fantastic. Yeah. Looks amazing.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that. And that is obviously part of the first phase. Now, this next one really applies to PC players, and of course, the first phase will be releasing on PC first, and that is key binding. So, people have often bound certain keys to certain buttons because it's easier for them to press when they're playing on PC. But with these changes, because you're able to... So, it used to be that you press a button to block, but now because you're switching between, if you're... using a controller, for example, you would press, I think it's R2 to block when you're using your weapon.
Yep.
Now, when you press R2, you'll be shooting a weapon, so you can't still press that button. So blocking has now been made automatic. So rather than you having to press a button to block, when you're not using your melee, it will automatically block any incoming fire from the front. You can still block in the air. They're working on adding blocks into combos and things like that. It's not in the game yet, but, you know, it will be probably in a later phase. Channeling will now be toggled, so rather than having to hold down the channel button, you'll just have to toggle it on and off, which is much better. If they should have done that right from the start, people probably would have used it more. And there were a few other PC key binding notes that didn't make a lot of sense to me because I don't use PC, so I haven't put them here. I will put a link to the melee changes notes in the post that I put up on the website. So if you are interested in any of those other notes, you can check that out and it will help you if you're a PC player.
Mention that the channeling, the toggle for channeling will now be basically your alternative fire button. So
yes.
When you have your melee weapon out, you press your alternative fire, it will toggle the channeling on and off.
Indeed. Thanks, Lucas.
All good.
So, we did mention that the changes are going to be in phases. D mentioned that the PC release is not coming soon, but it'll be within the next couple of weeks. Hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. The aim, as Steve Sinclair said, is to make it easier to look cool, which is exactly what we players want to do. So rather than, I know towards the end of last year they were talking about just doing the whole change to segments of weapons at a time. They've decided to sort of flip that and do smaller changes to all weapons at the same time, which I think is probably a better way of doing things. It does mean, though, that a lot of the bigger combo changes that we're expecting are probably going to come in phase two or phase three. Phase one is just going to be this uninterrupted combo with combo interrupts and things like that, plus the elemental trails by the looks of things. So, Next one, Lucas.
Next one. This one was actually a pretty good one. You can now add your melee or gun attacks in among the use of the exalted weapons, with the exception being maces, peacemakers. That's the one. So this essentially means if you're using, let's say, Excalibur's exalted sword, you have that out, you slash, you quickly press the fire button, you pull out your primary weapon or secondary weapon, start shooting, press your melee button again, and you go straight back into your exalted sword. Keep in mind that while you're in primary fire or secondary fire, either, and you have exalted blade active, the energy drain will still be occurring, so you can't just cheap the system like that.
Yeah, which is understandable. If you could cheat the system, you'd basically just have your exalted blade turned on permanently, because why would you not?
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes perfect sense. They showed off quite a few. They showed off Evara. So using her evolved arrows,
Interestingly enough, Evara was the only exception to that rule. While you're in melee weapon, the exalted bow of hers does not continue the energy drain.
Because it uses energy when she fires the weapon instead.
Yes,
she was interesting. They showed off Valkyr. The thing I didn't like about Valkyr is when you go into Hysteria, it changes the tinge, because she gets, you know, there's a red or an orange tinge to the screen because she's seeing, you know, she's seeing blood, she's seeing red.
Yeah.
And she's going violent and rageful. But then when you change to your weapon, it goes back to normal. And it was really jarring. And I hope Steve noticed how jarring it was between that, because I want to use Valkyr. So I hope they sort of smooth out the color gradient between them so that it's a slower phase between the two, fade in and
Or even just make it full rage even when you swap back to your primary.
Yeah, exactly. If it's still draining the energy, it may as well just stay in rage mode.
So, yeah.
Who else did they show off?
They showed off Baruch with his exalted fists.
Titania. Wow.
Yeah, Titania. They've shown that even with Arcwing, the melee changes will still be in effect, so there will still be a smooth transition from your weapons to your melee weapons in Arcwing. So that's great.
Yeah, and I think that might have been all they showed on that stuff.
Yes. I mean, they gave Mesa a shot, and yeah, because of the way her ability is set up, it doesn't work like that for a swapping between weapons.
Which makes sense, yeah. Hers are different. It's not just a exalted weapon, but I expect that Hildren will fit into this pattern, because hers is just another standard exalted weapon,
Yes, I expect that too.
Seems like a secondary. But anyway, cool. They are working on adding some juggles. Now, if you're wondering what I mean by juggles, then think Devil May Cry and Bayonetta. So when you knock an enemy up into the air, you can shoot them, and that will hold them in the air for a second, so you can do other moves. Or while you're attacking them in the air, they will stay in the air, so you can sort of juggle them and keep them up and keep them sort of controlled. So they are working on that. Some of it has been implemented at the moment with impact procs, I think. But they're working on exactly how that will look and what it will be. So even this first phase is going to change melee immensely. So.
Oh, yeah. So if you're comfortable with the way melee is now, prepare to have your whole world flipped.
Exactly. Flip turned upside down. Going to take a minute, just sit right there. Sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not sorry. All right. Next.
Channeling changes are still being worked on. If the existing mods don't fit the new system, there will likely be mod replacements. This is good to know, but you know, there's no real details on this yet, as they wanted to focus more on the phase one over anything else. So we don't know if this will be phase two or phase three, but you know, they've said it there. It's there. There will be mod replacements for those that don't fit the new system.
Yeah, probably most of what they're planning will fit the new system, but who knows until they've done it. Anyway, one thing that they did mention, they showed off dual wielding. So it looks to me like dual wielding is also coming with phase one. It wasn't really mentioned in the notes, and it wasn't mentioned as a main thing that they're working on with phase one, which I thought was kind of strange. Or maybe it's just because dual wielding was already kind of in the game that it's not as massive a change as everything else is. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of expanding on the weapons that can be used for dual wielding.
Yeah. So, still excited about that because there are a lot of great secondaries that, and a lot of single-handed melees. So why can't they all be friends? Why can't they be friends? And lastly, these changes will probably all happen throughout the first half of this year because they mentioned this will all happen up until summer, which will be winter for us here in Australia. And there's probably going to be two more main phases. So the first phase will be hopefully in the next couple of weeks and then two more throughout the next 6 months. They don't want to stretch it out because they have been promising things now for the last year or so and haven't delivered. So they want to deliver.
Railjack.
Well, we already know that's coming in the second half of the year, so...
We do know that.
Cough boy.
But I want it now.
Better go have a cough lolly, son. Indeed, Railjack would be amazing. But so will the melee changes. All right, anything else you want to add on the melee changes before we move on?
No. I think everything was covered. Oh, no, actually... Mm-hmm. I've said it once before, and I'll say it a million times again if I must. We need more gun blades.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They did show off how the system looks with the Sarpa, and yes, need more gun blades.
Yeah, it looked amazeballs, let's be honest. What we need?
Gun blades?
We need not just gun blades, but like nunchuck gun blades.
Nunchuck gun blades.
That would just be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a bit dangerous.
Do it, DE.
But I'd like to see it happen. All right. So, from my silly suggestion, which would still be super awesome, through to the changes to the alert. Now, I don't know which one I'm more excited about, to be honest. Melee changes are going to change the whole game in many drastic ways and probably make it more fun to play. But the alert changes is going to change some of the... what's the right term? Daily...
Objectives?
Daily grind.
Yeah.
So at the moment, you all know how alerts work. You go into... When you first load up the game, you go straight to your navigation console, you see what alerts are there, and you look at them all and think, Boring. No 19.
Oh, look, there's a 19.
Yeah. Or, oh, look, there's a 19. Or you're playing through a mission at the moment and do-do-do-do, and then there's a new alert that pops up on your screen and it's a 19, so you know that the next thing you're going to do is a 19 alert. Or you've been grinding to get the last piece of Vorben, maybe his new optics, whatever it may be, and you wake up one morning to find out that the new optics were up in an alert last night while you were asleep, and you missed it yet again. Plus, we all know that 19 comes out four times a day, but how many times have you been able to get it on a consistent basis more than once a day. Consistently. Yes, I've gotten it 2 or 3 times in a day, but consistently more than once a day, rarely.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah, so the changes is going to shake all that up. Now, we talked about Nightwave, sorry, we talked about Nora Knight last week, and she mentioned Nightwave, and we had a bit of a talk about what we thought Nightwave might be. And yay me, I was right on the money. So Nightwave is the new alert system. Nightwave will be Nora Knight's radio epic, I guess. And each story or each conflict will play out as Nightwaves. So Wolf of Saturn 6 will be the first Nightwave. Nora Knight will be telling her little stories alongside the Nightwave via the scanner. So each of these will have stories alongside them and a bunch of missions. And it will be super fucking cool. What do you think, Lucas?
Yes. Oh my god. Finally, something that's going to shape up the game other than melee changes and actually make you want to go out and do alerts.
Yeah. So, the question I have is, because it's a change to the alert system and Nightwave sounds like it's a story thing, are we going to have a new thing in the top right-hand corner, which is basically the Nightwave section? Or is Nightwave going to show up under the alerts section? Because the way it sounds is there's not going to be any missions that suddenly pop up, because they want to get rid of the randomness of alerts. So randomness is kind of, in a way, there's an excitement to the randomness, but it is also very frustrating. So they want some predictability. Now they're going to add a store in which you can purchase general alert items. So items that would usually be in alerts, such as Nitane, which will now be sold in bundles of 5, thank God. Orican reactors, Orican catalysts, all the pieces of Vorben, all that kind of stuff, they will be available in a store, and each of them will stay there for at least 24 hours. So if you know that they're the Nightwave reward, you can go, all right, I'm going to knock out a couple of Nightwave missions. And then you'll get some credits by doing that. And you can use that credit in the Nightwave store to purchase the things you need. So you can plan towards specifically what you want to get. I think that's a great system.
That is a great system. But I'm going to jump in for a second there and just go back to the coin, the credit system that they've got going for this. It's not going to be like your normal credits. It's going to be Nightwave specific coins. So, for example, they gave for the Wolf of Saturn 6, it's going to be Wolf credits. And once that Nightwave comes to an end and the next one starts up, your Wolf credits will just be normal credits. You won't be able to carry them over to the next Nightwave.
Yeah, they may even disappear. They didn't specify exactly what's going to happen, but at the end of the Wolf of Saturn 6 Nightwave, your Wolf credits will be worthless, basically.
Mm.
Unless they bring the Wolf of Saturn 6 back at a later date and then they become useful again. Who knows?
Yeah.
But what I am wondering is what the missions will be. Will the missions at least be random? Or will they be more like what we're doing at the moment with the War on Grenier and the War on Corpus and things like that? I'm interested to see what the missions are going to be. They didn't talk about that at all, sadly. Yeah, but the rewards are good. They also mentioned that you just get rewards by playing Nightwave as well. You don't have to just earn coin or earn the wolf credits or whatever they're called to purchase things. You also get them by playing. It sounds like there's going to be new things added because they said that.
So new rewards coming. It looks like they've got a lot set up for this. Honestly, it kind of feels like a bit of a story driven contract system.
Mm.
And I'm all for that.
Yeah, it feels exactly like that, to be honest. So as long as those contracts keep coming, I will keep doing them, probably. Yeah. Especially if we can get packs of 5 Nitanes. I'll be doing that a lot, just to stock up on Nitanes.
So you never know when you need 19.
Yeah. So.
And a lot of it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty keen on this happening. Certain things will stay in the alert system. So they specifically mentioned Gift of the Lotus, arbitrations, and tactical alerts. And they will stay in the current alert system, which is good. I'm glad they mentioned tactical alerts. Now,
there was no mention of nightmares.
No, there was.
Nightmares?
They did mention nightmares. Sorry. They mentioned nightmares in the article, not on the video. So in the article, it mentions that nightmare mods will still be available from nightmare missions, but nightmare alerts will no longer exist. So you'll have to go to the nightmare missions on the planets to do them.
Well, that's fair. I mean, 90% of the nightmare missions that pop up anyway, they tell you that it's an alert, but you can never find it in the alert screen, so.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that they did mention, and this is something I hadn't thought of, is for newer players, it's hard to collect auras. Because when they pop up on your screen and you see something that says alert plus stunning speed, or alert plus... I can't even think of another one. Corrosive projection, steel charge, whatever. Most of the time when you're a new player, you don't know whether that's worth doing. And then later on you find out that, shit, I really should have done that one for steel charge. That would have been really good. And now I haven't seen another alert. So just the fact that you'll be able to see them in the shops and purchase them whenever you want to, or in the Nightwave store at least, will make it a lot easier for newer players to get access to auras, and I think that's a great thing.
Yes. Now, that actually brings up another thing for me. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be a new store, does that mean we're going to see maybe a new room on relays, or how is it going to work? Like, how are they going to implement a new store for us? Is it just going to be like the market we have on our ship, or is it actually going to be you have to go to a relay and see this mysterious group and purchase your stuff from there?
Yeah, I'd want it to be easily
accessible.
Thank you. Fucking hell. I'd want it to be easily accessible because I don't want to have to go to a freaking relay every time I want to go check out what the Nightwave rewards are.
Yeah.
For today or for whenever. Because that would just be a pain in the ass. It should be something that you could do quickly and easily, you know, whether it's from the standing, not the standings console, the syndicates console, or something like that. Or even if you just access the store from a little button on the navigation console, whatever, as long as it's easy to find. That's what I'm hoping for. So,
pretty much in the same boat. I mean, like speaking to you throughout the week, I know you and a few of our other members in our Discord mentioned that they don't want to ever meet Nora Knight, just to you know keep that mysterious vibe about her. So I think an actual physical shop would break that. I'm pretty much in agreement. Give us something simple that we don't have to travel to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't want to meet Nora Knight. I want her to stay a mysterious voice on the
an enigma
on the scanner. An enigma. Yeah, that would be perfect. If we do go to meet someone on the relays, I want it to just be a proxy of Nora Knight.
Yeah.
Not Nora Knight herself, so that'd be fine. So I'm just looking at the article on the forum, and it does say Wolf of Saturn 6 or Nightwave credits don't expire at the end. So there was a screenshot that was shared that had a timer on it, and people thought that at the end of that timer, the Nightwave credits expired, but that's not the case. The timer that was shown there shows the length of the reward rotation within the store, but the credits will expire after the whole series has come to a complete close. So it sounds like, because they're referring to it as series, that the Night Wave will be told as like episodes or, you know, stories in a series. Yeah. So that's cool. I like
it. Well, yeah. Well, we did see that, you know, the first one will be episode one. So
yeah,
it makes sense to have it as like a series, you know, give us like 12 or so episodes of season one of Night Waves.
Exactly. So I'm, as Reggie Fils-Aimé did say all those years ago, my body is ready. And on that note, thank you, Reggie. He retired this week. If you don't know who Reggie Fils-Aimé is, he was the president of Nintendo of America, and he retired this week. So thank you to you, because you were an awesome president. He just seemed like a cool dude. I wish I had had the chance to meet him, but I didn't. His replacement is a dude whose family name is Bowser, so it doesn't get more appropriate than that.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a divergence down the path of Nintendo talk. So we became a Nintendo podcast for a second. We were Nintendo Squared. Now back to Cephalon Squared. They showed off a couple of other things. So we talked about the Sunshadow thing they showed off before. The other thing they didn't talk about but was very evident, there's a massive change, a makeover coming to Planes of Eidolon alongside Shadows thing.
There is. Oh, it looks amazing.
It looks like Skyrim.
It does. It really does.
I didn't know what I was looking at. I was like, what?
It's like Tenno in Skyrim.
Yeah, it looked like a completely different game. There were new textures on the rocks. There were new plants, if you'd like to be la-di-da. The shadows showed different individual branches and leaves on the trees. It looked like a completely different game, and I, for one, can't wait. I don't know how much of that will end up on the consoles. Doubt any of it will end up on the Switch. Although, in the cert update on the forum, on the forums, they did mention that there are some massive improvements coming to the Switch in terms of performance. So maybe the Switch performance will improve and they will be able to get some of that shadow stuff in there, because, God, it looks good.
Mm-hmm. Now, staying on that note with the new refurbishing of Planes of Eidolon, I did actually manage to read a few of the discussions that went on in the Twitter posts that Steve put up. Yes. And they have said that there will be new content being added to Planes of Eidolon with this refacing makeover.
God damn, they don't do anything by half, do they?
No, they don't.
Shit.
So, no idea what they're going to be throwing at us next. I mean, they still have the other Eidolon that they've promised us, so maybe we'll be looking at that coming. Flight-a-lon, yeah. Still gotta wait for that. But yeah, who knows? There's more in the works, folks.
Indeed. All right. Now, I know you had to sit down to watch this next part, so I'll let you mention it.
Oh, two-handed katana is likely to be coming with the Phase 1 melee update.
Indeed.
And it looks glorious. Now, what they did show off today, it currently isn't working properly with the smooth melee transference, but you know, that should be a quick fix for them. The stance that they showed off for it, very, very... I want to say For Honor Kensei. It looks great. I can't wait.
It does look really good. It looks really fun. And it didn't... I thought it was going to look ridiculously large, but it just looks perfect.
Yeah. Yep.
It really does. So they did a fucking great job. And they've confirmed that it will be coming with that Phase 1 update. So bring it on.
Now, like right now. Drop it. This second. Do it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. All right, anything else to mention about that video that we watched? There were a few things at the end that we missed because I was, you know, tired.
Nah, there wasn't really much you missed.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything important at the end.
They did show off the Zenistar and how the, you know, by throwing out your big
disc,
you can then still do your quick swapping back to your primary and secondary weapons. So that is going to make the Zenistar really good for just setting up a corridor or something and just waiting out a storm. It's going to be great. I have seen in the past people use the Zenistar for duration run survivals. This is going to make it a lot easier. Because it's just that smooth transference. You don't have to throw out your blade and then, you know, sit there pressing a button for a long period of time to swap back over. It's just instant, bam, you're right back into your gun.
Yeah, that was the thing I disliked most about the Zenistar, to be honest. So that's going to be awesome. I look forward to it. With gusto.
Much gusto.
Much gusto. All right. So that is our discussion for this week. We move into our topics. This week's beginner topic is, as per old mate Doug, your master, whatever the hell he wants to be called, on our Discord. You may recall that we did speak with him just a few short weeks ago.
Currently not a cultist.
Yes, he is currently not a cultist because the Discord is not a cult. Just letting you know that. So, the beginner topic for this week, as suggested by Doug, is lingo or terms that are used by advanced players. So often new players will come into our Discord and see some of the advanced players saying things and think, what the hell are they talking about? What the hell's a pizza? What's Tridalon? And so on and so forth. So we are going to explain that. And a lot of it will also pop up in the chat, region chat or trade chat or whatever the case may be. So here we go. I'm not sure how this is going to be because it is very much a note-based format in my notes here. And that's difficult to replicate on podcast. Anyway, there is the usual chat shorthand. So TY for thank you. TYVM is clearly thank you very much. NTY, no thank you. NVM, never mind. Now, very common in the trade chat, you will see WTB and WTS. They are want to buy and want to sell. You will see in region chat, LFC or LFG. LFC is, of course, looking for clan, and LFG is looking for group. HMU, hit me up. So contact me if you want, you know, you might say HMU if you want to buy blah, blah, blah. And that means hit me up if you want to buy blah, blah, blah. ISO is another way of saying want to buy or want to sell or whatever the case may be, but it just means in search of. So it doesn't necessarily mean that that person wants to buy something. They're just looking for something. And then you may talk to them about it. Now, you will see people sending you a message that will say INV, and that means invite. And the last one that is very, very common shorthand, there's two more actually, is MR, which of course refers to mastery rank, and ESO, which is Elite Sanctuary Onslaught. Okay, so they are the chat shorthands. There's plenty, plenty more, but they are the ones that I thought were most important. Now, for some reason, players like to refer to different items within Warframe as being vegetables, mostly because they look like vegetables. So, for example, we've got potatoes, cabbages, chilies, and tomatoes. Potatoes are, of course, Orican catalysts and Orican reactors. So you've got blue and gold potatoes, respectively. Cabbages, if you've ever seen a Void Relic, you know they look like bronzed cabbages. Chilies is Kuva. Next time you see Kuva, you won't be able to unsee chilies. And, of course, tomatoes are Exilus adapters because Exilus adapters look very much like a tomato cut in half. And that is just a weird little thing. So if you feel like making a soup after this episode, I don't blame you. And I wouldn't mind a bowl of your chili tomato cabbage potato soup. Thank you. You will see sometimes in the region chat, you'll see people talking about doing a rad share. Now, rad share, R-A-D-S-H-A-R-E, is basically a void fisher mission where everyone brings the same relic and everyone brings the same radiant relic. So it means, okay, I'm trying to get this very specific gold item or high, very rare item out of this particular relic, and I want three other people to bring the same radiant relic with me so that we have a better chance. So if you understand probability, the chance of getting a rare item out of a relic is pretty low, but if everyone has the same radiant relic, the chance is apparently 1 in 3. So if you do 3 runs with the same radiant, you should get it, as long as all 4 of you have got it. So that's a rad share. Then there's pizzas. You'll find there's ammo pizzas, health pizzas, and energy pizzas. Now, what are pizzas? They're called that because the old version of them was just a circular disc that you'd plonk on the floor and they'd just radiate a form of energy. And an energy pizza would give everyone in the team more energy, health pizza would replenish health, and of course an ammo pizza would give everyone more ammo. They have changed the way that they look so that they look slightly less like pizzas now, but the word pizza has stuck and will always stick, because it's fun to call them pizzas. Next is a taxi. So if you hear someone saying they're looking for a taxi to Pluto, or they're looking for someone to taxi them to the Index or something like that, that means they're looking for a high-level player who has unlocked an area of the map that they have not, and they just want them to take them there. So something you might not know as a lower-level player is, as long as you're playing with someone else that has unlocked something, you have access to everywhere else on the map. You just don't have access to it if you are the only one playing. Next, we have Tridalon. So, what is a Tridalon? You've heard of Eidolon, and these are the big bosses on the plains of Eidolon, of course. You may not know that there are actually 3 bosses on the plains of Eidolon, and you can only get the second when you beat the first, and you can only get to the third once you've beat the second. So, doing a Tridalon means doing each of the 3 Eidolon in one night. With reference to the Tridalon in particular, you will hear people referring to them as Terry, Harry, and Gary because of their names. So you have the... Shit, what is the first one called?
Terralist.
Terralist, thank you. The Terralist, the Hydralist, and the Gantulist. So rather than calling them Terralist, Hydralist, and Gantulist, people call them Terry, Harry, and Gary because that's much, much easier. Okay, next we have a couple of different names for Warframes. We have Slova and Spova. Now, these are different names for Nova, obviously. Slova is when she has been modded to slow down enemies, and Spova is Speed Nova for when she has been modded to speed up enemies. You have Pilfroid. And Pilfroid is a pilfering swarm. Pilfering swarm? Is that right? Pilfering?
Yep.
Yeah, it is swarm. Hydroid. And that is... He's basically a farming Hydroid. And, of course, we have Valkitty. Now, this isn't a specifically modded Valkyr. It's just a cute name for Valkyr because she's like a kitty. And I just like her so much that I thought I'd throw that one in. We also have EV Trin. That is an energy vampire Trin, which is a very common, or it used to be more common when raids or trials were in the game, and people used to look for people who had an EV Trin so that they could keep all of their team members replenished with energy. It's less important now, but it's still a very, very good and very cool build for Trinity. Moving on from Warframes, we have Clantech. Now, this I like this one because it means exactly what it sounds like it means. Clan tech is technology or weapons that can only be purchased from or acquired from your clan. So these are weapons that you can only get from the labs within a dojo. Mastery fodder. Mastery fodder is what many players in the game will refer to useless weapons as. So if you've got a shitty weapon such as the Gorgon or the Kraken or Dual Aether, for example, those weapons are really not very good at all, and they're only worth the mastery that you get from them. And once you've got that mastery, get rid of them. I think Mastery Fodder probably gets used too often because people start to refer to it as to even weapons that are pretty damn good, but maybe aren't their favorite weapons. They still call them Mastery Fodder, and I think that's a little bit unfair. Anyway, Nuke Frame. Now, a Nuke Frame is basically any Warframe that can kill large numbers of enemies. So, Nova can do that, Octavia can do that, Saren can do that, Equinox can do that. There are Ember used to be a really good Nuke Frame, less so now, but still not too bad. So those are Nuke Frames. A couple more left in my notes. People will refer to Platinum as Plat, or often in chat they'll just call it P, so 25P equals 25 Platinum. And of course, everyone's favorite Salad V is of course Alad V. And lastly, if you've ever heard anyone referring to red text is the text that comes up in the region chat whenever they're about to roll out an update. So it's basically just a notification from the devs that there's going to be an update soon, which is going to impact the game. And it is red, unlike all the other text in the chat. So it's noticeable. So it's referred to as red text. Anyway, they're the terms, excuse me, that I chose to go over today. There are plenty more, but they're probably the most important ones for newer players to get across. And help them. You don't have to use the lingo if you don't want to. If you want to keep talking, saying, Orican Catalysts or Orican Reactors or whatever instead of blue and gold potatoes, go for it. Not many people realistically do refer to Relics as cabbages or Kuva as chili or Exilis Adapters as tomatoes, but just letting you know because some people do. But it's up to you. If you hear people saying them, you now know what they mean. Any more you want to throw out there, Lucas?
Actually, there was one more I wanted to throw up, back up in the want to buy, want to sell, all that lot yep. there. WTT, want to trade.
Yes, that's a very important one. Thanks for that. That did slip my mind. So thank you. Cool.
You're welcome.
All right, so that is the beginner topic, and next is the advanced topic, and this one is right up Lucas's alley. Especially because he has just prepared an article about this. Well, not specifically this, but related to this. I'll let you get on with it. Sorry, Lucas, I'm rambling.
It's all good. All right, so advanced topic today, how to work around Limbo's Rift. So, of course, we have Limbo, the bane of many a player. So I'm going to start with why. Why is he such a pain in the ass? Well, it's mostly to do with his ability to send others to another plane of existence, and this hurts players because normal means of combat with enemies on the opposite plane is non-existent. So if someone gets sent to the Rift plane and you're still on the Material plane, you can't hurt them, although you can see them. This pisses a lot of people off. You normally either get sent by accident and wonder why you can't hit an enemy, or the enemy gets sent and again you wonder why you can't hit the enemy. Another problem is that some Limbo users just don't know how to use him properly and just banish everything. And because of this, some people will leave a mission the moment they see a Limbo. So, as I mentioned in last week's mini on Excalibur, Excal has a few abilities that can traverse the Rift, and thanks to Doug in our Discord, I now bring you some ways to deal with the Rift. And the simple answer is, use your abilities, not your weapons. As it turns out, all abilities of Warframes, and I mean all of them, can traverse the Rift. So if you're using an Ember, Fireball, go for it. It'll hit the person in the Rift. Using a Frost, Avalanche, go. everyone in the rift will take damage. Now, of course, there are some interesting ones that kind of have weird interactions, and one such is would be Mesa. Her peacemakers, they can actually shoot enemy, like, it's a gun. So you would think, maybe no, but you'd be wrong. They can actually traverse the rift, they can even traverse Frost Dome, so yeah, go nuts, go ham. Another one that was very, very interesting to me, and this one actually works very well for your normal weapons, and it is actually Mirage. If you use Mirage's Hall of Mirrors, then any projectiles her clones fire will traverse the planes. So in that sense, Mirage can use her normal weapons to deal damage to people in the rift, or vice versa. As an addition, operators can never enter the rift. Even when they're in Limbo's Cataclysm, they are still on the material plane and therefore can access terminals and pick up loot. So always keep that in mind. Your operator will never go to the rift. And there's a lot more interesting things to learn about Limbo. As Greg mentioned, I have just written up something to do on this topic, and that is the Limbo 101. That should be going up sometime this week. Don't know when.
Saturday.
Greg's got scheduled. Saturday, there you go. You heard it here first, folks. Saturday, Limbo 101 will go up, and it will have more information on how to actually use Limbo. But for everyone else, this is how to get around and work around Limbo's painful rift abilities, and that's just simply use your own abilities.
Interesting. So, yeah.
Anything you've got to add there, Greg?
No, I did not know that operators were not banished to the rift or to the other dimension, whatever the hell it's supposed to be. Limbo! So I'm glad that you've said that, because that was the biggest pain in the ass. How do you freaking activate terminals and all that kind of shit? So I am very happy that you have mentioned that. Now, I am a famous Limbo hater, but I don't hate him for the same reasons. I just think he looks stupid.
Yeah, you with your pimp Limbo.
Yes, but I do plan on making a good-looking Limbo now that there's a freaking kick-ass skin out there. Hat tip to Grax. Okay, anything else on that one?
Nope, that is it. Just good everyone, job. Use your abilities. Don't hate on Limbo so much.
Yeah. Yeah, don't hate on Limbo. He's actually really good. Really, really good. Too good. He's one of those, you know.
He's a god frame. He's not a warframe. Yeah. He's a god frame.
He's another one of the god frames alongside Nidus, Inaros, Saren, Mesa, and a few others. Yeah. All right, cool. So, community call out. It's over to you, community Lucas, for the competition results.
All right. So, now, as we all know, the Harrow 101 cover art competition has been going on now for the last couple of weeks. And tonight, I announced the winner. And a massive thank you to all the other participants.
So who were the top three?
I'm just trying to, you know, drag this out as much as possible to maybe infuriate people into...
Who were the top three? So name the top three.
The top three we had were Wooshi in at second place. So thank you so much, Wooshi. At third place, we had Kev. Thank you for your amazing shots, guys. Like, they both were absolutely astounding. And honestly, I would have been happy to have either one on the website for our article.
Mm-hmm.
But the winner of our very first 101 competition is Derpa Chief.
Indeed.
So thank you so much, buddy. You've done an amazing job. It was an astounding Captura screenshot you've taken. And we will be putting that on the Harrow 101 article when that hits the cephalonsquared.com website.
Yeah, whenever you've written it, Lucas. Good luck.
Whenever I've got to knuckle down now.
Yeah, but I do have to echo Lucas's statements that the images that were shared from Wooshi and
Kev
were both extremely good as well. When I saw them, I thought this is going to be impossible to choose, because all three of them are brilliant. So thanks, guys and gal for spending the time to take those shots for us, because they're friggin' amazing. I'm going to set up a page for fan art and things like that on the website. So if I have your approval, I will share both of those as well on there as runners up for the competition, because they're friggin' awesome. Thanks, guys and gal.
That's awesome. It's cool. I will, and I will be keeping those photos on my computer so that we can, if, with your permission, we can then simply just drop them in.
Exactly.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, next one.
Next one. Now, this is a bit of a special cookie. It's not to a single person. It's more to a few hundred people. So this is a cookie to both Digital Extremes and Activision. For their launch support that they gave BioWare for their Anthem release. They both put up their own little little memes on Twitter, and it was fantastic to see that these two companies that are well known for their looter shooters have decided to support BioWare and Anthem in joining the looter shooter genre. So thank you so much. I love the idea of game designers supporting game designers.
Yeah, exactly. It's really good. And on that note, as Warframe players, you may have your own personal thoughts about Anthem. It does have its similarities to Warframe. It does have its similarities to Destiny, but it really is its own individual game. And even if it has taken some ideas as inspiration from other places, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I do see a lot of people on Twitter and things like that telling anyone that talks about Anthem to just go play Warframe. It's a better game. We don't really need that kind of thing. One of the things I want to build within our community is positivity, because I think the world's negative enough as it is. So just let other people enjoy stuff. That's all I've got to say. Anthem's not a bad game. And, you know, you don't need to shit on it just because you like Warframe more. Exactly. That's all I have to say. Next, I gave out a cookie. And I gave out a cookie just yesterday. So I gave it to Grey Archon, who is in our Discord. On Thursday last week, we had our mini episode in regards to Excalibur. At the end there, I mentioned that Excalibur Prime was available at the highest tier of the founders, and he reached out to mention that that wasn't actually the case. The reason I thought it was important for me to actually acknowledge that on this episode and give a cookie to Grey Archon is because I very, very specifically said that anyone you see using Excalibur Prime in that episode, I said anyone you see using Excalibur Prime is going to be the highest tier of Founder, and that's actually not true. They're only the second highest tier of... the second lowest. Yeah. So there were four tiers. Tiers. The first one just gave you, I think it was just like an emblem or something like that. I'm not even going to say. I don't know what it gave you. There we are.
I was wrong. That's all right. I checked it out the other day. Good. It was an emblem for the first one, a more fancy emblem, and Excalibur Prime for the second. The third one was Excalibur, an even fancier emblem, and
Scanner Prime.
Now, I might actually muddle this up a little bit. I think it was the Lato... Lato,
I think it
Prime.
Was Skarner at level 2 and Lato at level 1, but I don't know.
Yeah, either. If we muddle this up, I apologize. But yeah, one weapon for the second highest and both weapons for the highest
level.
With Excalibur and an even greater, the Grandmaster Emblem.
Yeah. So just thought I'd clear that up because I did sort of make a big deal out of it in the mini and I was wrong. Big time wrong, so thanks for that. And Grey Archon did say, hey, you know, if I ever do come across anything in the podcast that is, you know, incorrect or whatever, is it okay for me to point it out? Of course it is. You know, we may call ourselves Cephalons, but we're really just two Aussie dudes.
Speak for yourself.
And we can make mistakes. We spend a good, I don't even know, hours preparing for each episode, but stuff slips through the cracks. Real life gets in the way sometimes. And, you know, we're only human. We make mistakes, and we're happy for you to point them out so that we can be clear on them in the future. And that is all. So thanks, Grey Archon. All right. Cephalon question time. Do you want to read out the question?
All right. So this question was from Wushi. And this one's a bit of a big one. It's a two-parter. So what mechanic or aspect of another game would you like to see in Warframe? And what are your guys' speculations on Planes of Deviri?
Yeah, they're two very specific questions, separate questions, I think. We should have split them, but doesn't matter. You chose the question, Lucas. You've had more time to think about it.
I've had no time to really think about this.
Neither have I. Zero time. I'm thinking about it now.
Oh, all right, well, let's just start with the Planes of Deviri.
Okay.
I feel like this one's a lot easier for me in particular. Now, when they kind of showed off the Planes of Deviri, you know, the little screenshot they gave us, the little concept art, whatever you want to call it, Steve made it very clear to mention the spelling of planes. So from what I've kind of feel with his particular spelling on this is it's a very aerial based. And I want to say that for my speculations on this is that it will possibly tie in with Railjack. And I know everyone just instantly thought Railjack. Well, here we go. Lucas again with the Railjack. Shut up. You all love it. You want it all. But yeah, that's my speculations. Planes of Deviri, I feel, will be a part of Railjack in some shape or form.
Now, very little information has been given in regards to Planes of Deviri. So I'm going based on the image that's been shown off. And my thoughts or my hope is that it's a return of an exiled Orican or something like that. The colour of the skin of that particular Deviri dude reminds me of Ballas. And he doesn't have the mega long crazy arm. But, you know, I don't know exactly whether every single Orican had those mega long crazy arms or whatever the case may be. But I'd like to think that it may have something to do with the Orican civilization. That's what I'm hoping, just because I love the lore, and I would love to get some more information as to the Orican themselves. Otherwise, if they're not anything to do with the Orican civilization, I'd like them to be a completely hostile entity. So at the moment, the Corpus, the Grineer, are somewhat, they're hostile, but they're really both kind of neutral. I'd like something to come in that is everything's enemy. Much like the Sentients. I guess the Sentients already are. Well, the Sentients aren't really. I think the Sentients are really just the enemy of the Orican. I don't think they wanted to take over the Orican system. They just wanted to, the Origin system. They just wanted to end the Orican's reign. So I'm not sure what's going to happen when the Sentients come over. But I'd like the Deviri to be something malevolent, if they're not related to the Orican.
Hmm.
That's my thoughts.
It would be nice to have a new faction to beat down.
Anyway, the other part of the question, what mechanic or aspect of another game would you like to see in Warframe? Now, this is a really tough one because there's lots of different mechanics. There's lots and lots of different mechanics that I'd like to see in Warframe. The ability to... I was going to say the ability to have really specific things on your weapons, you know. I was thinking of role-playing games, and when you know, even, you know, things like Anthem or Destiny, games like that, you can get random rolls on your weapons that come with different things. It would be interesting to see some sort of aspect of that, but I guess that's what Rivens are. What could there be? Vehicles. I know we've got certain vehicles in the games, but I'd really like to have other land-based vehicles. Driving around in some buggy would be cool. I know they did show off a buggy or a land-based vehicle on the Plains of Eidolon a while back. I don't know what happened to that. I want to see that come back. Shit, I don't know. Interesting question.
I think I may have something. There's two ideas, actually. And I've kind of derived them both from the same game. years and years ago, back when PS3 was the oldest, the newest PlayStation out there, there was the game White Knight Chronicles.
Yes.
Good. Now, one of the systems they had in White Knight Chronicles was that you could essentially build your own village. So I think the concept of building your own settlement select a planet, select a patch of dirt, build your own settlement, go to other places, talk to NPCs, recruit them to come back to your settlement. I think that would be a really cool mechanic. Build up your own city. Yeah. And the other one, it's a bit of a stretch, but again, it's taken from the White Knight Chronicles series, and essentially it is, I kind of want to see colossal Warframes.
Okay, like big.
Big Warframes, just giant monstrosities.
Okay. I was going to say I definitely want to see massive bosses, but there already are those.
I don't know.
So you want it to have like a King of Monsters feel or a Godzilla versus Mothra?
Yeah. Something like that. Like like the Power Rangers, fucking...
Okay.
The Power Rangers Zoid, just giant fucking Warframe smashing on a giant Grenier enemy or something. I don't know. Well, I think it would be something interesting.
Giant monsters fighting other giant monsters is pretty cool, but I can definitely get behind the settlement idea. I like that.
Yeah.
It is cool. All right, so we're getting long in the tooth on this one, so we will move on. Last thing I wanted to mention, of course, is our iTunes results. If you aren't aware, we are trying to get iTunes reviews, just so that we can grow the podcast. I'd really like to get into the top 200 for video games on iTunes, because that would get us some really great exposure and, get a whole bunch more people listening. We're building an absolutely fantastic clan on both the Switch and the PS4. We're going to start replicating that on PC. And it would be great to have a whole bunch more people join our friggin' fantastic Discord community, especially, and hopefully what will be a friggin' fantastic Facebook community as it grows a little bit more. But we need to get our name out there, basically. So we're trying to get to 50. Once we get to 50, we'll do a live video episode. So that will be a bit of fun. And the update is the US is now at 18 reviews. New Zealand, which I didn't check last week, there are 3. Australia, there's 7. And in Europe, there's only 1. Now, again, I only checked the Slovakia page. So if you know what the website is for the European iTunes page for Cephalon Squared, please let me know, because I can't bloody well find it. It's not just EU, it's not UK or anything. I can't find it. So let me know. So that puts us to a total of 29 for now. For all I know, we have 20 in friggin' Europe. I just can't find them. So, Cannibal Kiwi left a review on the New Zealand iTunes page, and I thought I would read it out now that I discovered that the New Zealand's iTunes page exists. Cannibal Kiwi has recently joined our Disco and has become a really active member there, so thank you to Cannibal Kiwi TV. He says, Grakata! As a long-time player of Warframe, out of a whim, I decided to search out and see if there were any Warframe related podcasts out there. Much to my delight, I came across Cephalon Squared, the comedic duo of Cephalon Greg and Cephalon Lucas are both very informative and entertaining. Thank you. I've learned things about Warframe that I otherwise have overlooked in my time there. The Warframe minicasts are great. I can't get enough lore. You guys are amazing. Keep up the fantabulous work. Now, 10 out of 10 for that one, Cannibal Kiwi, especially for using the word fantabulous. Thank you very much. You put a big smile on my face when I saw that one, so thanks for that.
That's fantastic. Thanks, man.
Yeah, indeed. And kiwis are awesome, both the fruit and the cute little bird. All right. So that is episode 32 and episode 51. Boom, boom. For this week, thank you very much for listening. The episode notes will be going up really soon. I have started working on them already because I'm awesome like that. Check out our website, cephalonsquared.com. See all the articles that we have been working on, the Warframe 101s, the guides, the weapon 101s. And of course, reach out to us, contact us, send us an email, join our Discord, join our Facebook group, get talking, get chatting, because our guys and gals are really, really cool people, and become one of us in the not cult.
One of us. One of us. Indeed. One of us.
And help us spread the word. So if you don't have access to iTunes, leave a rating on any other podcast platform that you know of. That would be great help for us. My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules in lots of places. Yay me. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri, and I am Silver Light in many places. S-I-L-V-R-L-G-H-T. My usual spiel. Thank you so much to the community. We really do appreciate all your support, so keep it coming. We can't do this without you. All the support you do give us makes it so worth doing, we hope to continue entertaining and giving the information you guys so desire and deserve for a long time coming. Thank you.
Indeed. Onwards and upwards. The sky's the limit. Thanks to Yarn at @disco_box on the Twitter for intro and outro. And yes, I just said the Twitter because I'm old.
The Twitter.
So, thank you to you for listening. And we will see you in a few days for the Frost Mini. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to cephalonsquared@gmail.com or get in touch via Twitter or Facebook. You can also join our Discord or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. See you next week.